The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad had come to America.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the No Pork Eating American Lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing, big guy?
Hey, I'm doing great, and it is good to be here as always. How are you?
I am doing well. It's Holy Week for Christians this week all across the world, and we have, six more days until the celebration of Easter. Good Friday starts the weekend celebration of Christ ascending into heaven. So, and yesterday was Palm Sunday. What a Palm Sunday. I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to Bigfoot's blogspot. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It is a great blogspot, 7 days a week. You get all types of news and articles and links, not just for United States media, but all across the globe. And if you want to read what's going on in Hungary, or you want to read what's going on in Ireland or Israel, Africa, just go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He puts a lot of work into it, and it's a really, really good blogspot. So thank you, Big, for all your work on that. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you. Ducky, holy cannoli, it's Holger. Nice to see you, Holger. And Boyd gets a Mamma Mia because he was the first one in the chat room. Actually, Sue from New Mexico beat him, but she's on the switchboard, so – we'll give a co Mama Mia out there. So Mama Mia hugs to you, Sue, and thank you for joining us this evening. And hey, Al, before we get started, Sue told me that G-Ski was having a little bit of he was having issues with his dialysis. So you guys, especially since it's Holy Week, please keep G-Ski and Sue in your prayers this week. That man is amazing, G-Ski, and he's really going through a lot. So our thoughts and prayers are with G-Ski. You can catch G-Ski and Dave on Friday evenings at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. Good thoughts your way.
I'd like to thank Hank Jones, who will be back this Wednesday, allowing me to sit in for him this last Wednesday and host the Poly Sports Show. Had fun. Talked about golf and basketball. Of course, it was the championship. Bastards, I lost you $5. 15-point lead. Not that I'm bitter. 15-point lead, UNC. Some people went to bed. I fell asleep. Didn't watch it. 11:35, 11:40, I woke up. In half in the grog, turned up the TV, shuffled off the bed, like pulled a Biden, shuffled around the house, and yes, I'm crying, I'm whining. So congratulations, Al, I owe you $5.
Hey, nothing spins better than veto dollars.
Hey, I still got the first dollar anyways. I still have the first dollar I won off of you. Playing some golf. I still got it in my little pouch every time I go play golf. Every day. It's getting worn out from opening my little pouch.
Well, when an 18 handicap at the time goes up against a 1 or 2 handicap in a chipping contest, I should have gotten odds. We win even money.
So you do – see, you do remember, you son of a gun.
Oh,
you do
I remember.
And I still got the dollar.
Giving you Al dollars is very painful. Taking veto dollars is a joy.
Well, speaking of joy, I don't know if you all watched it, but the Masters was held this past weekend. Thursday was the kickoff. Wednesday is the par 3 contest. And actually, as Holger and I were discussing, I've lost total interest in the par 3 contest. It's become nothing but kids running around the course. Used to be fun watching the players, you know, and their skills and watching Lee Trevino trying to, you know, hit a hole in one, and or watching the great Jack Nicklaus getting a hole in one, or Tony Finau making a hole in one, running down the fairway and dislocating his ankle and then popping it back in place. I mean, now it's just kids running around, and it's kind of been a distraction. So kind of lost the interest in the par three. But Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we saw some spectacular golf. The weather was the winner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday, the weather subsided, but America's Scottie Scheffler, world's number one ranked player, showed why he is number one after this weekend's Masters tourney. Weather was a key factor for 3 of the 4 days played. And actually, the fourth day, the weather was also a factor because it was calmer and it was warmer. Yesterday, we saw some great scoring at the famed and prestigious Augusta National Golf Course in Augusta, Georgia. In the end, world's number one Scottie Scheffler shot a 1-under par 71 to capture his first green jacket and hold off the field of 50-plus, including the surging Rory McIlroy from Ireland and the Aussie Cameron Smith, who was in second place behind by 5 strokes, got it down to 1 stroke, and then his world fell apart. I mean, you know, Scottie got out to a 5-shot lead, and Cam Smith birdies 1, he birdies 2, he gets within 3 shots, then a birdie and a bogey, and gets to 1 shot, and then they get to number 12. And number 12 is a par 3, and, you know, it's probably, aside from the tournament players championship, TPC, number 17, it is one of the toughest par 3s in golf. It's 160 yards, the green is oblong, it's not rounded. There's a bunker and there's water, Race Creek in front. The wind plays havoc. The wind is a factor. And it's a wind that that players that have been playing there for years really and truly understand the impact of the wind on a golf ball. Anyways, the hole can break some dreams, and it's broken many a dream, including Australian Cam Smith yesterday. Cam Smith hit a 9-iron dead into the lake, didn't even hit the bank. He hit one of the worst 9-irons of his career. He knows it. He even says it. And it was amazing. He knew it. It was not going to carry. He slammed his club to the ground, you know, and just knowing that it was not going to make it, turned his head, and the ball just plunked into the water. Takes a double bogey, and Scotty goes from one shot to a three shot to a four shot lead. And I think he took a six, if I'm not mistaken, Cam Smith. And it was, you know, I felt bad for Smith, but then for some reason, Scotty just kind of settled down and he got the lead back up to five shots. But behind him was Rory McIlroy, and Rory is now bogey free through like 14 holes. He hits a shot to 15, a par five, to within, what, 12 feet out, and then drains the eagle putt. And now you're talking about a four-shot lead, you know, and a three-shot lead. And so here you are watching Cam Smith, who is now he's out of it. The poor guy, it just didn't go well for him after that. And I think he ended up at four under par, and he had it to nine under par. So, you know, it was brutal. The only other time you could say that number 12 was brutal was Jordan Spieth, who had a three-shot lead going into number 12 for his second green jacket. And he ends up taking a seven, a quadruple bogey, hits two balls in the water. And there went his second green jacket. But the weekend belonged to Scottie Scheffler, and it was fitting. Because here's a young man who praises his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unabashed, even during the post-round press conference. He gave thanks to Jesus Christ, his Savior, and he's a deeply Christian man. And as Holger pointed out, for this guy to win on Palm Sunday, how fitting was that? But it was really cool to watch how humble the guy is, how focused the guy is. And some people perceive his focus as being, you know, rude to the fans, but he's actually in a zone. He zones everything else out. His job is to win that golf tournament. And this guy ascends to number one at age 25. And we haven't seen this type of play since a young Tiger Woods. So it's really, really cool.
And speaking of Tiger Woods played in the Masters, which is unbelievable, made the cut and lasted all 4 days. He didn't win, of course, but he was able to walk the course for 4 days, which was a testament to his iron will and character. So kudos to Tiger Woods as well. And Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he nearly lost his business, had a lost ball, pulled it out, hit it off the pine straw, 247, got right back in it, made some incredible shots. It was just great golf. It was just awesome golf.
It was. That shot, that was Saturday. So Saturday, 18,
yeah,
he's moving right along. And gets to the 18th hole, hits the worst drive of the day, knocks it into the trees, and then he got some relief. So he takes the lost ball, or, you know, he takes the ball with unplayable lie, and then he gets relief from where it was. He's got what? You said 237? He hits a
247.
247, hits a 4-iron to the left side of the green just by the pin, and it goes to the back of it, and he salvages a bogey out of it. He didn't even phase him. I mean, he was so focused. It was really, really cool to watch. It really was. It's, you know, if you don't play golf but you're a golf fan, you had to just love it. And to me, and Tiger, I'll tell you, I don't know how that guy comes back from the severe and devastating car accident that he had, mangled his legs, has been rehabbing the last 17 months. And this guy comes back to the toughest course that's the most demanding course as far as physicality goes on the tour. I mean, I don't know why he didn't play the Heritage tournament next week. It's upcoming because it's flat. It's in South Carolina. It's flat. No, he chose the most you know, the one of the most hilly and demanding courses, and he did it for 4 days. He ended up, what, 13 over par, but you know something? He was so ecstatic to play. It was unbelievable.
Oh, and Holger mentioned the double bunker eagle from, what's his name, McIlroy the douche, and Morikawa.
Oh, the bar, they
fantastic,
were birdies.
Great golfer, yep. And they both made eagles out of the bunker.
No, birdies. They both made birdies. That was the par 4 18th. They hit the second shot into the bunker, and McIlroy hit that bunker shot out probably about, what, 40 feet right of the pin, took the hill, and went right in and just took the hill perfectly and drained it. And then Morikawa steps up, and he drains his birdie, hits it out of the same exact bunker, and drains his, and the people were going crazy out there. It was really cool.
Oh, I stand corrected. Was birdies. I thought it was eagles. Either way, it was pretty spectacular.
They were still Evians, so, you know, they were. Well, <What's that? laughs> I'll tell you, though, there wasn't the weekend was not without controversy, okay? And so – Scottie Scheffler, Tiger does a fantastic, you know, job out there. And one person had to ruin it. But you know what? It doesn't ruin it because I think he's outlived his welcome at Augusta. And that would be Tyrrell Hatton of the UK, of England. Hatton went nuts. And, you know, he went nuts on golf. He ended up dead last at 17 over par. So he makes the cut, Tyrrell Hatton, and he just proceeds to play terrible golf. Now, he shot 8 over 80 yesterday. And look, as a professional, I know, you know, that it's embarrassing. However, he wasn't the only guy that was shooting 80. He wasn't the only guy that was shooting above par. Now, when you conversely take a look at Rory McIlroy, who shot a bogey-free 64 yesterday, you know, he could say all he wants to say, he, meaning Hatton, can say all he wants to say about not getting, you know, the breaks and it's not fair out there. Bull, okay? Bull. Because Tiger Woods shot 13 over par, okay? And Tiger Woods didn't complain about the course. As a matter of fact, nobody complained about the course except for Tyrrell Hatton. It was just a difficult course. It was a difficult weekend. The weather was awful. And I'll tell you, based upon those comments, and I know it's emotional after a round, and certainly you have to take that into account. But if I'm the Augusta committee, Tyrrell Hatton isn't getting an invite next year. I don't care if he's in the top 50 or the top 10. He ain't getting an invite from the Masters. This is an invitational tournament. I would give the invite to a grateful player. And there are thousands upon thousands of grateful pros out there who would just absolutely revel in the prospect of playing Augusta and getting that coveted invite. So, you know, I think Tyrrell Hatton, either he's got to change his attitude about going when he goes to Augusta, or he's just got to suffer the consequences. And, you know, he blames his caddy, but he didn't listen to his caddy. Scotty didn't listen to his caddy, but quickly learned that his caddy knew what he was talking about. And from then on, he listened to him. I'm sorry, but I think Hatton was out of place. It was his own fault. He went into the water on number 11. He should have listened to his caddy and took the extra club, but he blew it. It's not the Masters' fault. It's not Augusta's fault. It's purely his fault. And he owes the Augusta National an apology. And I think that if the Augusta doesn't get that apology, I wouldn't extend an invitation to the son of a gun next year.
Well, if a spot opens up, I'm in.
I'll carry your bags for you. You know, it's such an iconic course, and you know, even people who don't play golf, even when they go there, it's like they're in heaven. And I just, you know, hey, he finished dead last. He still gets a check for like $35,000. So, you know, you can go soak your sorrows in it, Hatton. I'm just very disappointed in him because, you know, he was one of the guys that could have been favored to win it. So just what a uncalled for. So, NFL news, real quick. We don't do much of NFL news, but kind of a tragedy struck the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their quarterback, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, Dwayne Haskins from The Ohio State, was hit and killed in South Florida by a dump truck. He was attempting to cross three lanes of traffic or several on a highway, a busy highway, Interstate 595, and was struck by a dump truck and killed. Mike Tomlinson said, "I'm devastated and at a loss for words with the unfortunate passing of Dwayne Haskins." Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins was killed early Saturday morning in Florida after being struck by a dump truck in Broward County. He was 24 years old. Haskins was set to turn 25 next month, was in South Florida training with team when he tragically died. ESPN Adam Schefter reported, citing Haskins' agent. Haskins was attempting to cross the westbound lanes of Interstate 595 on foot when he was hit by a dump truck, according to Florida Highway Patrol. Haskins was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities said it was unknown why he was walking on the interstate. Haskins was a standout at Ohio State. He was drafted by the Washington Redskins in 2019, but flamed out and was given a second chance by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, man, that was just awful. Very sorry to hear that. And I mean, don't follow football, NFL football, but Dwayne Haskins was a great quarterback at the Ohio State. He was finished second in the Heisman Trophy draft, but to end that way is just very tragic. He was in South Florida training with
getting hit. Can you imagine getting hit by a 24,000-pound vehicle?
Oh,
Lord
oh
have mercy.
God. No. He was – and the sad part is he was training with fellow teammate quarterback Mitch Trubisky, who they were battling. They were going to be competing for the starting QB job after Roethlisberger's retirement last year. So I wonder who was driving that dump truck. Was it – no, that's just
– Terrell Hatton. I don't know.
That's awful. Man, oh, man, that's awful. Oh.
That's not even funny.
I know. Just feel bad. You know, that's just, you know, hey, the guy reaches the pinnacle of his career and then for it to end that way, it's like, wow. But, SpaceX launched Axiom 1 this past Saturday with a businessman who paid $55 million for a seat on the station on the rocket. And Axiom 1 is due to docked with the space station. So it's interesting a non-astronaut was allowed to travel to the space station. That's kind of pretty cool, isn't it? I mean.
Well, it's even more exceptional because it was the first space launch of private citizens, not one retired astronaut, but it was all retired citizens. So this is really the maiden voyage of a commercial space flight. So it's pretty exciting in that respect too. And NASA's rocket is still going through having some valve issues and still hasn't even gotten off the ground yet. Meanwhile, Elon Musk has fired off four successful launches and recovery missions, with the boosters landing on a barge in the middle of the ocean. The size of four or five cars. It's amazing. So Elon Musk is the man.
Yeah, he is. He's unbelievable, man. He's just, you know, he's doing it cheaper. He's doing it for a profit. Not even if it's for a profit, but he's doing it, and he's doing it well. And, yeah, they had some setbacks in the past, but the fact is that Musk is moving forward. And you've got NASA continually moving backwards, and Boeing's not even in the picture any longer. You know, Boeing is spending tens of millions of dollars, probably hundreds of millions of dollars, to try to get theirs, you know, launchable, and they still can't do it. And like you said, Elon Musk is just launching one rocket after another. So all the men were 52 to 71. They reportedly paid a whopping $55 million per ticket. an amount that would no doubt fund a formidable biomedical research program here on Earth. But beyond the ludicrous ticket price, I'm concerned about the potential environmental impacts of such space jaunts. That's from PHYS.org. So here we have the environmental aspect of it. And, oh, $55 million. It's going to – it could fund research. And, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know.
Yes. Screw these Marxist liberals. Who do they think they are to tell other people what to do with their money? This man worked hard, was successful, and earned the money. If he wants to spend $55 million for 10 days in space, God bless him, because there's a lot of people working on that program that have high-paying jobs. So next time you're working, thank a rich person for your job.
Oh, it really, and it's just amazing how all of these green scammers come out, and they, you know, right away you're killing the earth and the atmosphere and the pollutants that are being here. In the meantime, Mother Earth is more resilient than ever, and Mother Earth is the one that has the potential for for harming the environment, but it's sunspots and solar flares that do more damage and dictate, you know, weather conditions. Man is it's infantile what man does. And these scammers go out there, they want to talk about $55 million. How about the $4 trillion that the American taxpayer is due to fork over for the green scam, huh? What about the prices at the pump? Guys putting stuff in a chat room. You know, hold your pay, $3.54 for gas today. Boy is talking about over $6 a gallon, $5.88 a gallon for gas. You know, it's incredible what we're seeing. And you know, right away, you got to bring up this article that Holger had sent over. You know, there is a conditioning that's going on in the United States of America. Conditioning, you know, first of all, you've got the DNC media, the left-wing media is trying to dictate policy. They're trying to dictate the narrative. They are sanitizing the crooks that are in Washington, D.C., including the two that are in the White House. You know, you've got the New York Post, who releases information about a Hunter Biden laptop, and right away, you know, the DNC media sources, including the social media fascists of Twitter and Facebook, decide they're going to stem your free speech. They're going to terminate your speech. They're going to censor your speech, okay? And they terminate you from their platform, citing some bullshit privacy policy, their policy. And in the meantime, the left-wing media, the DNC-controlled media in this country is sitting there covering up for the Biden crime family, the Pelosi crime family, the John Lurch Kerry crime family, okay? All of these crime families who are taking money from foreign sources. And so now it's proven that Hunter Biden is one sordid individual. Not only is the guy a pervert and a degenerate and a drug user, okay, but he was put in place by his old man, okay, the big guy, you know, Joe Obama, and he was put in place to facilitate the stealing, the theft of money from Ukraine, from China, all padding the coffers of the Biden crime family. And now just 12 months out of being elected, Joe Biden decides he's taking us off of energy independence and making America dependent again. And what is Joe Biden's answer to the rise in gas prices? Well, first it was silence. So for the first 12 months of this feckless regime, it was silence. And gas prices started climbing, and they were rising 20%, 30%, 50%. And there was still silence, you know, from the chimpanzee in the White House. Silence. And you know what? Silence is consent. And the American families, okay, the working families are getting hosed at the pump, literally. I mean, we're sitting there watching our budgets being busted. It's not $10 a gallon more for a fill up. It's not $20. It's $30 and $40. In some cases, $60 more to fill up your vehicle. That's not hyperbole. That's just fact. You talk to people. I have a client who spends $60 more every 2 weeks, and he needs his vehicle for business, and he has no choice now but to raise his prices. That means consumers will pay more. And you know what? That's what's happening with diesel fuel. And what's the consequences of that? We pay more at the grocery store because it takes more money to deliver goods to what? To grocery stores, to stores, to the end user. So prices climb. Ah, but to the rescue are the left-wing media outlets. The DNC control media is to the rescue. AP, Associated Press, Politico, two well-known DNC media mouthpieces. This is an article from the AP, March 25th. AP NORC poll, low marks for Biden on economy as prices rise. And they have a picture of gas prices at the pump at a Shell gas station, not sure where it's at. Regular gas, $6.69 a gallon. Yes, $6.69 a gallon. And don't forget, we've been accused by, I've been accused by left-wingers on the fascist Twitter that says that I lied when I said that gas prices were up 54%. That's not true. The average price for gasoline on December of 2020 was $2.04 a gallon. Gas is not up 50%. And you're right. It's not up 54%. As I said, it's up what? It's $6.69 a gallon. Let me see. That's 300%. My math is wrong. I went to public schools. My PS89 school education was wrong, and I apologize. The Plus gasoline, $6.85 a gallon. The V-Power gasoline, 7.19 cents a gallon. Premium gasoline that you put in your Mercedes-Benz, your high-end vehicle, your Chrysler 300 D is – it's 300 C, excuse me, is $7.19 a gallon. But the AP to the rescue, the DNC media mouthpieces are all here to make sure that they cover for the fail and feckless fraud in the White House, Joe Obama. And thank you, Salty Cracker, for that, Joe Obama. A majority of Americans say they don't blame President Dummy for high gasoline prices, but they are giving his economic leadership low marks amid fears of inflation, and deep pessimism about economic conditions. About 7 in 10 Americans say the nation's economy is in bad shape, and close to two-thirds disapprove of bumbling Biden's handling of the economy, according to the new poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs. In addition, Americans are more likely to say his policies have hurt the economy than helped it. Really, they're more likely to say that? Boy, they must go out on a limb if they're more likely to say that Joe Obama's policies are more likely to have hurt the economy. Like, let's see, let's do away with all of Donald Trump's successful energy policies that made America independent, that made America the leading source of export for oil and natural gas in the world. And the successful policy of oil that brought OPEC and the Russians to their knees. And let's terminate that. And so now Americans are more likely to say that Joe Obama's policy have hurt the economy than help it. Wow, let's go out on a stretch, but have no fear. Remember now, Joe Obama changed the narrative. You know, for 12 months, Joe Obama was silent on the rising gas prices and how it was crippling working families and working poor. And Joe sat there and said nothing. He conducted his teleprompter readings and then simply turned his back on the American people and walked away. And the willing accomplices in the media sat there with their thumbs up their asses and salivated over the fact that he wasn't sending out mean tweets. And of course, we all know that Joe Obama can't even spell tweet. So yes, less than half say the jump in gas prices is Biden's fault. Less than half. Now make sure you understand how AP now phrases this. Less than half of the people say the jump in gas prices is Biden's fault, a reflection of how the country is processing Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine and the resulting increases in oil costs. The polls hint a paradox in which the public views Biden as being in power without necessarily being in control. His hopes for a lasting economic renaissance has faded as Americans cope with higher food and energy costs, and the promise of a country no longer under pandemic sway has been supplanted by uncertainty of war in Europe. Okay, and again, it is Joe Obama who is conditioning the Americans. The two times that he held a teleprompter press conference reading, Joe Obama mentioned that this is Putin's gas price issue. No, it's not. Let's end it right there. Not only is Joe Obama Biden lying, but the DNC media is complicit in this lie, in facilitating the lies. Russia invaded Ukraine 2 months ago, not 14 months ago, not 10 months ago, but 2 months ago. The rise in gas prices at the pump has been going on solidly for 12 consecutive months from January 20th, 2021. These are Biden's failed policies. Biden has intentionally caused the rise in gas prices, spiking so much so that we have seen not only a 54, a 60, a 70, a 300% rise in gas prices, but we have seen the soaring cost of groceries at the grocery store. We have seen empty shelves. And what's the answer by the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, about the rising and the soaring gas prices? Simply go out and buy an electric car. Go out and buy an electric car. You're a working family that has finally paid your vehicle off so you don't have a $300, $400, $500 a month car payment where you can finally afford to take your kids out and support them in any type of sporting events or extracurricular activities, or maybe put a little something away for a rainy day. And your answer is to go and buy a $50,000 vehicle and put yourself further into debt. This is how arrogant these sons of bitches are in Washington, D.C. This is how out of touch people like Pete Buttigieg is. While he was out on maternity leave breastfeeding his child, okay, we had container ships out in the Pacific Ocean that could not dock and unload. And the result of that is empty shelves all across America in department stores and grocery stores. This chain of interruption was done intentionally by this administration. Americans will feel the pain. How dare you? How dare the American people would have elected a man like Donald Trump and then empower the American people and make America independent again? The idea is to make America dependent again. Make America indentured to the federal government. And it's exactly what Joe Obama Biden is doing. He's nothing but a freaking liar. And the DNC is complicit. They send out their media whores like the AP, like Politico, to cover up for this guy and his crime family. It's going to get worse before it gets better, said Adam Nuego, 53, a truck driver from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He sees inflation as spiraling outward with higher fuel prices, increasing the cost of shipping, and ultimately raising prices across the broader economy. Absolutely. We're seeing it happen. It's happening right now. The American people cannot afford what's happening. The impact on their daily household budgets is busting their budgets. What about the retiree who's on a fixed income? Huh? What about the retiree now who is spending $4 a gallon for gasoline, costing him or her an additional $20 to fill up their tank? They can't afford that, along with the soaring prices of drug prices. because, you know, the medical field wants to make you dependent on drugs. You got to pop those pills. Nwigwe said he reluctantly voted for President Donald Trump in 2020 while his wife cast her ballot for bumbling Biden. He feels that inflation at a 40-year high and withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan have led to a mess. No, the mess is Biden. Biden, the feckless wonder. The installation of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris was planned. The installation of these two witless wonders who are taking everything that President Trump did, all the successes. I don't care if you like the guy or not. The one thing you have to admit economically, Trump knew what he was doing. And he wasn't afraid to do it. And that was the problem in Washington, D.C., because for 50 years we have been conditioned that only the establishment in Washington, D.C. can tell you how to live, can tell you how it's going to be. Well, you know, it's really difficult to do. You know, we can't do this. Oh, you know, we can't do that. And then a guy comes in who's a businessman and says, the hell, we can't do that. Yes, we can do this. And we are going to do this. And in 3 years, in less than 3 years, America went on energy independence. And for most of us in the chat room and listening on the podcast, we're old enough to know that I don't give a shit what gas does in the next 50 years. If we have a supply of 150 plus years of oil to fuel our vehicles, I'm willing to pay $1.35, $1.40 a gallon. Because I know that with American ingenuity and with the right person in the White House who inspires that and provokes, okay, that type of leadership, we will come up with an alternative fuel source to where we're not having to log on to this green scam and cost us $80 trillion over the next 80 years. I want lower gas prices, which then lower other costs, okay, which helps Americans afford to live in America. Not this bullshit about, oh, well, you got to pay $15 an hour. You have to pay a living wage. Well, certainly have to pay a living wage because we're paying $5 a gallon for gas. Sorry, I apologize, boy. $6 a gallon for gas. It's incredible what we're seeing today. And the sanitizing of an administration that caused it. And I'm not talking about the Putin administration. I am talking about the Biden-Harris administration. They are the direct cause of this. The chaos that was led in Afghanistan absolutely broke the spirit of our allies. They know they can't depend on the United States of America. You have an administration that has emboldened China, the enemy, communist China. China is communistic. Russia is communism. As Sue from New Mexico wrote me, she's been researching Russia, and she sees how this oligarchy goes in, and they poison people, and they destroy their own people. They will kill the individuals. Why? Because of power. We're talking about the United States of America, a constitutional republic versus communism. Oligarchs who would rather indenture you to them and make you subservient and pay. Ride a bicycle. The Chinese do. Ride a bicycle. The Dutch do. Who gives a shit? We're not the Dutch. We're not Russia. We're not communistic. We are the United States of America. Yes, you're right, Holger. America is full of oligarchs, including, you know, Jeff Bezos, Nancy Pelosi, the Biden crime family, John Lurch Kerry. Yes, you're right. George Soros, Warren Buffett, Zuckerberg and his wife Chan, who now things are starting to unravel with the Zuckerbergs. Huh? Things are starting to unravel a little bit for Zuckerberg and Chan. Bill Gates. Overall, 65% of Americans disapprove of Biden's handling of the nation's economy, including 96% Republicans and 36% of the demented Democrats. 36% of Democrats are said to have disapproved Biden's handling of the economy. I knew that Democrats were stupid, but I didn't think they were that stupid. I mean, I have zero respect for Democrats at this point. The overall share saying they disapprove is up from 57% in December of 2021 and from 47% last July. Of course it keeps rising. This economy is owned by Obama-Harris. Did I say Obama? This economy is owned by Biden-Harris-Obama. It doesn't matter whether it's Obama or Biden. It's the same individual. The administration, Susan Rice is back in the fold. Do we need any more? Gas prices stand above other types of inflation when it comes to worries ordinary Americans have about price increases impacting their bottom line. Finally the AP writes about that. 18 months, the American people are going, hey, I can't afford it. The only thing good about the pandemic was now that I'm working from home because I can't afford to drive my car 5 days a week. I can't afford to pay tolls 5 days a week. I can't afford to take my kids to school 5 days a week. Well, yeah, this is Putin's, you know, gas price hike. Oh, really? How do you explain it back in April of 2021, huh? There was no conflict with Russia and Ukraine. How do you explain that? Back then, I was paying $3.70 a gallon. No, you weren't. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Do you live in an alternate universe? What about October when we were paying $3.90 a gallon, $3.95 a gallon? Huh? And we watched our grocery prices soar 30%. Gas prices were high before Putin began amassing forces at the Ukrainian border, but they've risen since the start of the war without producing a slew of additional oil to come out to the market. Well, of course not. Why? Because bumbling Biden made sure to take America off of energy independence. Right from the get-go, the first day in office, that stunad took America off of energy independence and made America dependent again. So much so that he helped fund the Russians to fund this war. He helped fund OPEC. We had OPEC reeling, but go ahead and let's go ahead and be dependent upon the theocratic Islamic regimes. So they can fund not just 85% of the madrasas in the United States. Let's go ahead and fund them for 100%. Hey, they can also start an alternative golf club there, Al, a golf tournament called LIV. I mean, we're supposed to be buying this nonsense that these left-wing media outlets, the DNC-controlled media outlets, are shoving down our throats, conditioning us to believe that this is Putin's energy increase. Bullshit. What'd you take from that article?
Well, you pretty much said it all. But the other takeaway is that Elon Musk being back in the news because last week, there's the story that Elon Musk bought 9.2% of Twitter as a free market, free speech move. Well, it ends up that Elon Musk has opted out of being on the board of directors for Twitter. And it has people wondering what's going on. Because once you're on the board, this is my speculation as to why that happened, is that he's planning a hostile takeover like we used to hear about back in the 80s and the 90s all the time, because once you're on the board of directors, you can only own 14.9% or 14.5% of stock, and then you have to, whatever stock buys and sells, have to go through the FCC if you're on the board for insider trading purposes. So he opted out of being on the board, so people are now speculating what he's going to do, because Elon Musk is a smart man. So I venture to think that he's looking at a hostile takeover down the road, or he's just going to bow out, sell out, because he made over $1 billion in the stock trade itself. The other option is you could just sell out and move on to other things. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I thought it was a fascinating story.
So with your background in this financial side of it, so the options are still open for Elon Musk for a hostile takeover.
Oh, sure. He can keep buying up stock until he owns a majority of the stock, and then he can take over the company.
Now, could Twitter file any paperwork to go private?
I suppose they could. It's a little late in the game to do that. Usually you do that before the process is even started, but I suppose they could do that as a defensive measure. They call it a poison pill of sorts, just to make the stock that unappealing that a potential shark investor will stay away from it. So that could also happen too. So keep an eye on it. And if you get any good information, save it and tell us on Monday.
Great. Yeah, that will be pretty cool. That'll be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, and I was listening to this guy, Salty Cracker, and while listening to Salty Cracker, he was talking about the incident that happened at the White House with Obama being brought back in to probably help salvage a fledgling Biden-Harris regime. And what was interesting was everybody, I'm sure by now, has seen some sort of the video of Obama taking control of the what would you call it, the press conference, and the media lapdogs all salivating over the great black dope being there, and him flippantly, you know, trying to make jokes along with Biden, and then basically shunning Biden. Biden looked like a lost puppy, and he was out of all kinds of sort at that meeting, that press conference. And, you know, here you have if you just look at it from the perspective that here's the president of the United States who has a former president, that same circle, and the current president is being shunned and pushed aside. So much so that Joe was just walking around. He had his hands out like, you know, where is everybody? And they were all, of course, glommed onto Obama. And that got me thinking to a Stephen Colbert interview that he had with Obama. And I want you to listen to this. And before we get on to the other news of the day, Pakistan and Nigeria, this is very telling. And this is Obama's own words. Here's Obama on Stephen Colbert, I believe it was last year.
Look at something going on in the news and go, you know what the situation needs? So Barack Obama.
I've said this before. People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, mm-hmm. looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't say last year. Back when Trump was president, back in 2018 and 19, and how about that? If I had a puppet, someone who I can pull the strings, had something in their ear. Gee, I wonder if you could say Biden.
Well, Biden's not that good. He needs a koala. He needs a heels up Harris for that job. What an arrogant prick, our past president. He said he wants a stooge in the presidency that he can just put words in their mouths via an intercom into the guy's head. Who does he think he is?
Well, I think we know. I think we all know exactly what he is. And I think we all know that this anti-American mentality that started, certainly started well before 2008, was something that Obama carried into the White House and post. And the fact that we see, basically we see Obama's people in the White House right now in key positions in government, he certainly has not gone away. And this is the troubling aspect of it. And now you've got a fledgling, you know, Biden-Harris regime, and who do they bring in to prop up the polls? None other than Barack Hussein's Tora Obama. And if you think that Kamala Harris is going anywhere, as bad as she is, and she is a dope, I mean, Hank calls this administration La Dopey Nostra. She is worse than Biden, and that's hard to surpass. I mean, the only one that's really relishing in this is probably Jimmy Carter, knowing that when he dies, you know, soon, he won't go down as being the worst president in American history. Bumbling Biden takes that hands down. But the thing is, after watching that video and that interaction with Obama, Biden, and Harris, I no longer think that Kamala Harris is going anywhere. She was right at Obama's side. For all of her failings and misdeeds and even being called out by a foreign president during a press conference, I mean, she is awful. She has 10 people already, 10 members of her staff have already left because she's so bad. She's going nowhere. And you're right. She might be the earpiece. She might be the individual who wears the earpiece for Obama to pull those strings. I thought it was disgusting looking at it. It was awful. And the fact is, even though I am certainly no fan of Biden, I don't know if you could catch that, you know, lately, but I am no fan of the guy. But to watch that feeble old man stand there and then look aimlessly and no one's paying attention to him. He's even grabbing Barack's shoulder to get his attention. And Obama's having none of that. You know, that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot.
Well, he lived the worst nightmare in history on national TV. Because let's face it, everybody has the fear. You go into a party and nobody wants to talk to you. Some it might have happened in reality. Others have dreams of that happening. And, so he lived it on prime time, everybody's worst nightmare of going to a party with all your friends and people you work with and then to be totally ignored. But I don't feel sorry for this. I don't feel sorry for Biden, President Biden, one bit. Because today, because now that son of a bitch is going after the Second Amendment, but he's doing it with ghost guns. He wants to make having ghost guns a federal offense. But what he doesn't say is that he wants to see prosecutions of criminals who use guns in a crime having mandatory jail time and then no bail, stiffen up bail provisions, making sure that these criminals are in jail. He wants to go after these quote-unquote ghost guns, and according to Judge – what the hell's her name? America's
Hero?
Judge.
Hero?
Yeah, she says that as far as federal crimes, the feds only pick and choose the gun cases that they want, and then of those they have a good conviction rate because they pick exactly the ones that they want, but it's a very small percentage of the gun cases. So President Biden's quest of going after these ghost guns is just all BS because what has to happen is that you have to have stiffer jail sentences, mandatory bail, and get tough on the criminals at the local and state level. But, of course, he doesn't say any of that. He just wants to go after our guns. So Joe Biden is not to be underestimated because he will take our fundamental rights away at every turn as he's done for the last year. So, yeah, he may be a big buffoon, but he is a dangerous Marxist buffoon.
Yeah, Biden is an anti-constitutionalist. Let's just be straight. The Biden-Harris regime, including Joe Obama Biden, is an anti-constitutionalist. They have usurped the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. They're stemming free speech. They're stemming your ability to peaceably assemble. They're stemming your ability to redress the government for grievances. And now Joe Obama is going after the Second Amendment. And it's exactly what Barack Hussein Sator Obama wanted to do. And as Representative Thomas Mays tweeted out, and he tweeted out correctly, and this is where the American people have to get off their duffs and they have to speak out. It doesn't matter what particular party you're from, who you support. I don't care if you support a Green Party. The issue is the President of the United States does not make laws. Laws are enacted by the United States Congress, one. Secondly, we have a Second Amendment of the United States Constitution that's very clear. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And now you have an authoritarian in the White House who is unilaterally making the decision that you cannot make your own guns. Oh, they're called ghost guns. Well, guess what? The criminal is not making his own guns. They're stealing guns, buying guns off of other people and using them in the process of a crime. Joe Biden is nothing but an anti-constitutionalist. The Democrat Party is destructive. The destructive Democrat Party is demonic, and they are anti-constitutional, which makes them anti-Americans, in my opinion. And Representative Mays has it correct. And it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you are on. The President of the United States does not enact laws. Congress makes the laws, not the President of the United States. And the little chimpanzee that's in the White House thinks that he can go in and now he's going to be the savior. And as you said, Al, he's nothing but a Marxist. And that's what Marxists do. They control people. Joe Obama Biden has no respect for the United States Constitution. He has no respect for the American people. He has no respect for our founding of this nation. He's infringed upon the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Hell, he's infringed upon the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the due process. You have people who are still being detained for January 6th, which was not an insurrection. We've already had, what, in the last week, we had another individual charges were dropped, and most people are charged with trespassing. And as the judge rightly said, you can't be trespassing if you're waved in by the Capitol Police. I think if I'm that judge, I'm going to get a food taster. These liberals, man, these left-wing, they're not even liberal. These left-wingers are nothing but anti-constitutionalists, and Joe Biden proves that on a daily basis, and now they're going after the Second Amendment. Oh, well, you know, you don't need guns to hunt Bambi. You don't need an AK-47. Who said anything about hunting Bambi? That's not what our founders intended. But power and control.
Well, that's what President Biden said in his address today. He said, you don't need high-capacity magazines with 20-plus bullets in there. Who needs that? You must be the worst shot in town that you can't hit something you need 20 bullets.
Jesus. Idiot. Oh, and the lapdogs on the left, you know, they lap it up. Oh, he's right. Oh, you see, he's got a mental capacity. my 9mm has more capacity than Biden. Come on, man. Right, boy. Come on, man. Idiot.
Your extended 34 bullet clip. They call it the ghetto blaster.
The ghetto blaster. Let's get multiple Z.
Hey, that's what our friends in gangs called it. They call it the ghetto blaster.
Yeah, and Hogan said, if you have 50 Somalis in your porch with machetes, you need more than 20 bullets. Yeah. You know, but the whole point is, you know, let's just go back a second to what the progressive movement has done. They have successfully conditioned Americans into thinking. They're dumbing Americans down, and they start with the youths in America. They started with the premise that you don't need a high-powered rifle for sporting events, to shoot a deer, to shoot an animal. And, you know, that was never the intent of the Second Amendment. That was never the intent of our founding fathers. And that's the sick part of it, because the progressive movement has been successful in conditioning Americans and dumbing them down into thinking that the Second Amendment is designed for sports, and it's not. Why does the federal government need high-powered, multi-capacity guns? Huh? Why does the federal government need high-powered weapons to shoot their own citizens?
Criminals have them.
Ah, yeah, right. That's right. Well, I hope the American people, you know, and I don't give much hope to the left side of the aisle, because they really don't care, because it was about defeating Trump because he sent out mean tweets. And it's okay that we're spending $5, $6.55 a gallon for gasoline now, because now we don't have any more mean tweets. But America has become dependent upon communists for our oil. We've been dependent upon Islamic terrorists for our oil, when in fact we were energy independent, and we had prices as such were reflected in the goods that we were buying, because truckers weren't spending $5.50 a gallon for diesel fuel. And there comes a point in business when you can't continue to absorb those type of price increases. You know, income minus expenses equals profit or loss. The luxury of a business is that we don't have the luxury of a federal government that we can simply print money at ad nauseum. If we're a business and we have 20 employees, we have 10 employees, we have 5 employees, we constantly look at that bottom line. Can we continue to afford what we're doing? And if we don't run out of profit, how long before we have to shut that business down or make drastic cuts? And of course, what happens? You cut labor, because labor is your highest cost factor normally. I mean, it's not rocket science, but we don't have any rocket scientists in government anymore. We have progressives who have no free enterprise acumen. They despise capitalism. They despise our constitutional republic. They despise our Constitution. And Representative Thomas Mays said it best. The President of the United States does not write the laws. Congress does. Article 1, Section 1. And you know, we got to go back to the fundamentals. And the Second Amendment wasn't written, you know, to go deer hunting. The Second Amendment was written to keep government at bay, keep government in check. Hell, it kept the Chinese, the Japanese in check in World War II, didn't it? Because they knew that the American people had the right to bear arms and had arms. It wasn't just the U.S. military. It was 80 million guns that were circulating in the United States of America. God Almighty. Well, so as we put in the description of the show description today, no one's talking about Pakistan. And Bigfoot put a blurb in the put a comment in the chat room earlier in the evening, and thanks for that, Bigfoot, about a lot's going on in Pakistan that no one's talking about. And Jihad Watch and also Bigfoot's Placed on Blogspot.com has been following what's been unfolding in Pakistan. And in Pakistan, a vote of no confidence has taken place, and Imran Khan, the prime minister of Pakistan, has been ousted on a vote of no confidence. The vote came after soaring inflation and a rift between Mr. Khan's government and the military, and this has been festering now in the country for weeks. And at one point, Imran Khan was getting so desperate that he was blaming the United States of America for the unrest and uncertainty that was occurring in Pakistan. And of course, that wasn't true. And the parliament didn't buy, you know, Khan's rationale. But what does that mean now for Pakistan? What does that mean for India? You know, Al, Pakistan's got nukes. The wrong individuals get, you know, into power. What happens? You know, what about Sharif? You know, Sharif was sworn in as the as Pakistan's new prime minister a week after the drama. Does Shahbaz Sharif, does he bring some sort of a semblance, a balance into Pakistan? Does he hold things down? Does he help stem the political turmoil? I mean, what do you think?
Well, Khan had already said, he said, "I will not accept an imported government," Khan told the nation in a late night address. "I'm ready for a struggle." Khan earlier tried to sidestep the vote by dissolving parliament and calling early elections, but a Supreme Court ruling ordered the vote to go ahead. "So we will not seek revenge. We will not put people in jail, but the law will take its course," Pakistan opposition leader Shahbaz Sharif said in a speech after Saturday's vote. So it's widely expected that Sharif, the younger brother a former three-time Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, will replace Khan on Sunday or Monday. So now,
well, you know,
the puzzle, yeah, one of the puzzle pieces now just moved and changed. So now we have a little more Ajna in the region.
I know, that's just it. And, you know, the one thing that you could say that's up in arms is, regarding Sharif, is, you know, okay, so he was voted in, but there are 342 seats in the assembly, and Sharif got 174 votes. He received two more votes than the majority, so that this might bode well for Sharif. And but will Sharif bring some semblance of order, and will he bring any type of stability, or can he stabilize that country? And then what does it mean for the United States of America? And what does it mean for the world, as a matter of fact, because of, you know, of Pakistan having, you know, having
nuclear capabilities? Yeah, scary thought. Will the new leader, Sharif, will he be aggressive towards India and heat that conflict up? We don't know. Will he increase his conflict against the non-Muslims? We don't know that either. There's a lot of question marks, few answers, because a lot of the experts never even saw this coming.
Yeah. We laugh. It's like, how do you not see it coming? You know, especially when you have a situation, you know, unfolding in Pakistan with inflation going awry. You know, of course, you had the pandemic that impacted, I'm sure, them. But, you know, what happens? Are you that blind? Did Russia-Ukraine take that much off of the
State
was it
Department.
That much of a distraction? Where's the State Department in all this?
For our State Department? Hell yeah, it was a big distraction. They're focusing all their energy on the immediate problem at hand as the rest of the world crumbles. I mean, in China right now, they're having severe food shortages in Shanghai. Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, the whole city is on a lockdown. The U.S. Marines that are stationed in Shanghai are having food issues as well. They can't get food. They have to. They've already eaten most of their MREs. They're having to rely on helpful civilians to keep them fed. Meanwhile, you have Shanghai citizens who are jumping out of windows. If they get sick, they're calling it a COVID shutdown. I think that it's a manufactured food shortage, and this is the only way that they know how to adjust to it, because they've already learned. You mentioned COVID, and they can lock down the whole damn city, and everybody will go along with it, because, as you said earlier, the conditioning has been set. All they have to do is pull the trigger when they need to use that playing card, and they're using it in China. Now, I'm not seeing too many analysts, at least in our mainstream news, tackling the subject with any depth or with anything interesting. It's kind of like they got caught blindsided.
And so for a country, China, that reported 94,000 deaths in 2 years, while the rest of the world was looking at tens of thousands, and the communists, imagine the communists suppressing news, and now you've got news that can't help but break out of Shanghai, with a population of, what, 25 million people in Shanghai? I mean,
yeah.
How do you cover that part of it up? And again, where's the State Department? Are they asleep at the wheel, you know, asleep with Sleepy Joe?
I don't know. Maybe these Chinese should go into a wet market and eat some bats.
Yeah, where's Dr.
Cold? Fauci? Is that cold and mean? Is that like a mean tweet I just said? Well, screw China. This is a chance for us to put them further underneath our boot, because if food is their weakness and they have no food, then civil war will soon follow, because there's no way that they can stop a hungry, starving population, because all these people that are in their apartments, they will leave at some point. And they are not going to respect the authority. And the United States government should be encouraging this type of activity.
25.
These communist Chinese are going to take over Taiwan when nobody's looking.
Yeah. Yeah. 25 million people in Shanghai. Just in Shanghai alone, 25 million people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we United States citizens better watch what's happening closely. When that whole city shut down, believe me, our leaders could pull that same stunt on us, because we are conditioned as well, if there's a medical emergency, to do what we can for the benefit of our community, because, Vito, we're all in this together. We have to do our part. So mask up, stay in your house, and we will send food to you by Uber if we have to. And here's a number to call in your food orders. That's what's happening in China. Except for the food's not coming because you can't get through on the system by design. So watch this closely, ladies and gentlemen, because this is like a glimpse into the future. And President Biden is not in our State Department. I have no faith in them being able to handle this gift from God to the best of our abilities to help our republic become stronger and survive against a communist Chinese tyrannical government that has nothing but ill will for our country in mind. And you know why? Because I think President Biden has been compromised by the Chinese, as he was compromised by the Ukrainians, as he's been compromised by the Russians, and it all stems from this laptop as well as his dirty dealings. And these are the chickens coming home to roost.
And you know,
Race Bader said.
And what's funny about that, about the China being compromised by China, when in fact it was, and I'm sure you may have seen that video where the students were asking that liberal left-wing panel that was led by Brian Stelter about the Hunter Biden laptop.
And I found it kind of funny, the one woman who, newsreader, stated that the Hunter Biden laptop has no bearing. There's no relevance for that laptop because it has no relevance on who's president of the United States. And that's kind of interesting because there goes the lies and naivety of the is it naivety or is it just flat out lies? I think it's more flat out lies because Tony Bobulinski was very telling in stating that Joe Biden knew exactly what was going on with regards to Hunter Biden's business transactions. And it was Joe Biden who helped facilitate those meetings between the Ukrainians and between the Chinese, in which Hunter Biden's company received what, tens of millions, probably even more than that. And it goes to exactly what's been said about being compromised. And Joe Biden is a compromised individual. And that laptop is very damning. And so, yes, it is quite relevant. The same way that the same media indicted President Trump, Donald J. Trump, for everything, including, you know, the Alamo and the attack on Pearl Harbor, you know, Joe Biden is a compromised individual. He's a sordid individual. His crime family is guilty of buying into or being bought out, by the Ukrainians, by the Russians, and by the Chinese. But, you know, the left has to go to their death to defend this feckless fraud, Biden. And so now what happens with the Chinese? And again, I'm telling you, Donald Trump was right. Donald Trump was right to state that America should be the manufacturing giant once again for the world. We shouldn't be dependent upon communist China. So now you have this unrest that's going on in Shanghai. The government, the communist government of China, locking down a huge city, 25 million people. And you have American manufacturing that is reliant upon China for our goods. You've got retail outlets like Walmart and other outlets who are reliant upon China for manufacturing, when in fact it was the vision of Donald Trump to bring that manufacturing back to America. We can make anything that China makes, we can make it even better and find a way to make it even as cheap. And Trump was right. And now look what you have. You have an outbreak of the China virus in China, where China has suppressed the news the last 2 years, proclaiming and claiming that they had 95,000 deaths over a 24-month period, when in fact they're shutting down a city with 25 million people due to the China virus. And boy, you're absolutely right about the NBA. The NBA has bought into communist China. The NBA defends communist China. Nike's goods are made by Chinese companies, Chinese forced labor. And somehow that's okay. Well, some of the manufacturing now can move to Vietnam and Thailand, where it's being manufactured, but the lion's share of the manufacturing is being made by communist China, not by the United States of America any longer. And again, that vision to making America great was to bring back that manufacturing that we ceded to a communist country. And now you've got civil unrest in that communist country where American manufacturing is relying upon this communist country. America's fuel is reliant upon a communist country, or communist countries, Russia and Venezuela, and a theocratic Islamic regime that funds terrorism. 19 Muslim men funded by Saudi Arabia
9/11/2001, Saudi Arabia funding over 80% of the madrasas in the United States of America, Saudi Arabia funding mosques all around the world, including $150 million in just north of Rome and outside of Florence, Italy. And they're doing it through petrodollars that once again was made possible by an anti-American administration, the Biden-Harris-Obama administration. You can't make the stuff up. You got the NBA defending communist China, dumping on the very country that has afforded these overpaid athletes the opportunity to play a sport that they truly love, a craft, and yet it's the United States that's the bad guy through this whole thing.
And it all goes back to that first story that you were talking about regarding this disinformation conference and about these two college kids who stole the show. Well, some of the biggest names in left-wing politics headlined a recent conference at the University of Chicago centered on disinformation, which we talk about all the time in the form of propaganda and agitprop, but it was two college freshmen who ended up stealing the show. But first, the university hosted a disinformation and the erosion of democracy. Great sounding name. You would think that conservatives would be on that panel, except for there were none. It featured big names, like you said, CNN's Brian Stelter, The Atlantic's Anne Applebaum and Jeffrey Goldberg, and former President Barack Hussein Obama was on the panel himself. Now, the conference was largely partisan, they admit, with the exception of the token conservative Jonah Goldberg, who is not even a conservative anymore. He's not even an establishment Republican. You may as well just put a Democrat by his name if you followed any of his work in the past couple of years. But there was a freshman by the name of Daniel Schmidt who questioned The Atlantic's Anne Applebaum. And let me tell you, Anne Applebaum is a Marxist through and through. And this freshman, Daniel Schmidt, asked about Hunter Biden's laptop, to which the left-leaning journalist quickly dismissed the question. He said, quote, "So in 2020, you wrote, those outside of the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden," referring to his laptop, of course, close quote, Schmidt began. A poll later found out that if the voters knew about the contents of the laptop, 16% of Joe Biden voters would have acted differently. Of course, we know a few weeks ago the New York Times confirmed that the content is real, close quote. That was his lead-in. Brilliant. He goes, and now the question. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality? Close quote, question mark, he continued. Applebaum, now keep in mind, this is at a disinformation conference. What a beautifully crafted question. Applebaum, the Marxist from The Atlantic, quickly moved to dismiss the legitimate question by using disinformation. She said, quote, "My problem with Hunter Biden's laptop, I think it's totally irrelevant," she said. "I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I didn't think that Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States, so I don't find it to be interesting. That would be my problem with that is a main news story." That is from one of the leaders of the press. Oh, she just dismissed it. Even she was shown to be engaging in disinformation, and then she used disinformation to get out of the disinformation that she used 2 years ago back in 2020. And it took a college freshman to call her out and that the Empress has no clothes. The Empress is a Marxist hack.
You know, you have to hand it to the progressive movement. You have to hand it to them for quickly going on the offensive and starting this disinformation conference.
I mean, it's so politically correct. It's perfect. It's the perfect ruse to go on the offensive and then to proclaim what is information and what is disinformation. And again, if CNN reports it, it has to be information. And if you hear it out on the Fox News bubble or anything associated or related to that type of a forum, then it's misinformation or disinformation. Mm-hmm. Even though the laptop now has been proven to be true, even though that the content on the laptop has been proven to be true, but you know, mm-hmm. it's not interesting. She found, Applebaum found that it was not interesting. Right. Right.
Yeah, the fact that they're selling information, the fact that Hunter Biden is having sex with underage girls, allegedly, doing drugs and selling influence of and access to the vice president of the United States. That's the currency that's being traded here with Hunter Biden. To her, that is not interesting. The other big news is that if they had not used this disinformation back in 2020, that 16% of the Democrats quite possibly would have voted for Donald Trump or not at all, which would have turned the election. And then, the name, the disinformation and the erosion of democracy. Yeah. For God's sakes, we're not a democracy. We are a republic, a constitutional republic. And that's what they want. Marxists want the erosion of our republic. They want to erode it.
That's exactly right. And it's the reason why they continue to refer to the United States as a democracy and refuse to use the term constitutional republic.
So put that in your hookah and smoke it. That's only half the story. So I'll put the rest of it up.
Yeah, please do, because it also goes to show that the Atlantic is no different than NPR, that the Atlantic is no different than CNN. And it's like it's damage control right now. They somehow, these two young men got through the censors of this disinformation convention or this disinformation conference and dare to ask a question. And if you let these left wingers speak, they'll tell you exactly what they think. And it wasn't interesting. I didn't find it to be interesting. Well, Al, the more I read on this over the weekend and the more I thought about it, it's like, this all does make sense. It's starting to kind of like you're starting to connect the dots. And really the dots being connected are really simple. Barack Hussein Sator Obama is the left-wing savior. It's the communist savior. It's the Marxist savior in America. He was anti-constitutional, but he used the Constitution to destroy the Constitution. Very simple. Went after Tea Party groups weaponizing the IRS. Went after journalists. Remember freedom of the press, an essential part of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? Went after members of the press, i.e. James Rosen and his family, for daring to air a story about the great black dope. Biden basically doing the same thing. The U.S. government now has weaponized their department heads, their departments, and the freedom to peaceably assemble has been abridged. Now you've got the fraud Fauci going out there talking about imposing mandatory masks and they're talking about lockdowns once again. Hey, just in time for the elections. Wow. And it's all of this. Yeah, I like to think about grooming, but it's all conditioning. And I think what happened with the left wing, especially in 2020, that laptop is so damning that not only did it indict Joe Biden, but the tentacles led back to his boss, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. And I think that's the biggest fear that the Marxists have in government, is that their pariah, their savior, Barack Obama, is a sordid individual. He's an enigma as well. And I think that the left wing, especially the DNC-run media, wants to sanitize as much as they can to protect and shield from Obama. I mean, and I'll tie it back to just that conference with Joe Biden at that forum in April of 2019, when he had diarrhea of the mouth. And he bragged about withholding $1 billion loan guarantee to the Ukrainians, and how he called Poroshenko and told Poroshenko that he had to fire the special prosecutor, or else he wasn't going to get a billion dollar loan guarantee. And Barack was solid on it. And see, this all ties together with all the other left-wing news outlets, with all the DNC Marxist media hounds, including this Ann Applebaum, who said she didn't find it interesting. They didn't find it interesting because the ties all go back to Obama as well as Biden. That could indeed bring down the Democrat Party for 4 to 8 years, and they can't afford that to happen. The idea is to come back, get back in control, take control of the government for as long as they can, destroy the Republican Party or any semblance of that party that is defined as the Republican Party, and stay in control. But hell, you even have some members of the media have their conscience now is starting to bother them, as this NPR reporter who now has decided to go against her employer, the NPR. And I'm not saying go against, you know, vigorously, but she's calling out, you know, DNC NPR, and who also defined the Hunter Biden laptop as a waste of time. Okay. So now the Atlantic and Applebaum, it's not interesting. NPR, a waste of time. How is it a waste of time when, in fact, you have a potential president of the United States who is compromised? How is that different from Richard Nixon, who you slaughtered in 1972? How is that different than the manufactured, and how you bought into the manufactured charges, the phony charges of a Russian collusion against Donald Trump? You were salivating to get that man out of office. Only now we find out that Hillary Rotten Clinton and the Democrat National Committee was behind funding that phony dossier that cost the American taxpayers in excess of $30 million. Paul Manafort went to jail on a phony charge. Lieutenant General Michael, what's Michael's last name? Lost his
Flynn.
Flynn, thank you. Michael Flynn lost his entire savings as a result of a character assassination based upon phony charges. And it all started when Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Solid, huh? Well, I guess if you're trying to get rid of a guy who's crooked and you convince him to do so, that would be good, right? Well, it just so happens that that prosecutor that Mr. Biden was talking about, the one he got fired, was investigating Burisma Holdings. What's Burisma Holdings? It's a private gas company out of Ukraine. And guess who happens to be on the board of Burisma Holdings, making quite a lot of money, in fact? Robert Hunter Biden, son of the former.
So there you go. And so you have, Vito, you keep bringing this up. Yeah, I keep bringing it up because now you have The Atlantic saying they didn't find that interesting. NPR, DNC NPR, the laptop is a waste of time. In the meantime, you have Joe Biden, who is up to this sordid financial rewards to his neck. And he also indicts who? Barack Hussein's Ator Obama. If you don't believe me, call Barack. He's solid. Wait a minute. What's going on here? How much abuse do we have to take as the American people? And then we find out that the whole Russian collusion narrative was phony. But we don't have a phony issue here. But it's a waste of time. And yet there are some investigative journalists who are saying, wait a minute, hold on a second here. This is not a waste of time. I don't agree with my employer, NPR. Weeks before the 2020 presidential election, the New York Post published bombshell reports about a laptop abandoned by Joe Biden's son. On the laptop there were reportedly emails that indicated that Joe Biden, while vice president, met with the top executive of Ukraine natural gas company Burisma, where Hunter was on the energy company's board. There were also allegedly emails from Hunter Biden pursuing lasting and lucrative deals with Chinese energy company China Energy Fund Committee, CEFC, that said he would be interesting, that he said would be interesting for me and my family. Now, what's the interesting thing about China Energy Fund is the Chinese Red Army runs that. They have ties to the communist Chinese government. And it's that laptop is a waste of time, or in Ann Applebaum's case, it's not interesting. Imagine if Woodward and Bernstein said, you know, this whole break into the DNC is just not interesting. Those guys made a fortune off of the fact that they broke that story and deep throat and all the inner clandestine, you know, type of things that were occurring in the government. And they don't find this interesting that the vice president of the United States at the time has been compromised. And it leads to the Speaker of the House and her family have been compromised, that the Secretary of State, John Kerry, and his son have been compromised. And Mitt Romney and his daughter and son have been compromised. But that's not interesting. That's not interesting. And it's just a waste of time. Well, when the Democrats are in power, it's just a waste of time to start investigating these sordid individuals, these corrupt individuals, because they all have the same corrupt mindset. Ann Applebaum, a Marxist. Well, I don't find it interesting. No, because it wasn't about Donald Trump. And now it turns out that everything that they accused Trump of was phony and false, and it was contrived, and it was created and manufactured by the Democrat Communist Party in America. Nothing's being said about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was sitting DNC chair, having to resign abruptly in shame because they found her to rig the Democrat primary election in 2016. But that's not interesting. The interesting part is to take down a billionaire who believed in the American people, who believes in America. We have to sit here and you have to defend and you have to excuse and you have to deflect against a sordid vice president who is now president, who's enriched himself and his crime family. And that is not interesting. It's just simply a waste of time. Well, investigative journalist Laura Sullivan for DNC NPR. She's had enough. Really love it. This is what she tweets out. Really love it when managers make our jobs harder. I don't know if that's Hunter Biden's laptop or what's on it, but it's certainly not a waste of time to find out. At NPR, managers better hope that laptop was built out of an old Russian blender in Ukraine. And she commented above an NPR public editor, why haven't you seen any stories from NPR about New York Post Hunter Biden story? Read more in this week's letter. We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. And we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. Really? Really? That's October 23rd, 2020. Isn't it amazing how the same DNC NPR had no problem when a whore came out and accused President Trump that she was having an affair with Trump, and Trump wrote a check, not paying her off in cash. Had his attorney write her a check to pay her. And he denied the allegations, and he says, and I have a paper trail, and I paid her a check. And if I really wanted, you know, to hide this supposed illicit affair, I would have paid her in cash and paid her off. And then it turns out that that salacious accusation turns out to be false. But NPR ran with the story. I guess that wasn't a waste of time. The fact that Joe Biden has endeared himself to the Chinese communist government and has put his son in place to reap millions of dollars from the Chinese government and his and the Biden crime family, I guess that's a waste of time to know that the president of the United States today has been compromised by the communists, whether it's the communist China or communist Russia. And that somehow is not a – that is a waste of time to know that $54 million in Chinese gifts were donated to Penn Home on the Biden Center. The Chinese communist government gave the Biden library $54 million. $54 million. And there's nothing to see here, folks. It's just a waste of time. You know, Joe Biden is in with the Chinese up to his eyeballs. The Biden crime family made tens of millions of dollars off of the Ukrainian energy. But the Ukrainian energy is not just the Biden crime family. It would have indicted Pelosi. It would have indicted the Kerry family. It would have indicted the Romney family. That would have been interesting, but apparently when you have a left-wing government media outlets like NPR and any other that the DNC controls, they don't want to go down that road because it's about protecting their own. And it's exactly what they do. But if you're not one of their own, they will crucify you. Even if a whore comes out with a phony story, they'll make sure it becomes front news because then that's interesting. So, all right, I'll stop. I'm sorry. I just don't – this campaign of disinformation, but you have to hand it to the progressives. They go on the offensive. And that's one thing that this dishonest left wing does. They're going out on the offensive. And it's just plain false.
Well, one big story since we're running out of time is Trevor Loudon posted a story. Men posed as Homeland Security agents were arrested. Ooh. These were well-financed. It appears to be an Iranian operation, but that is not confirmed or revealed just yet. It's unsettling. The operation began in 2020. Most of all, the shame of the Secret Service. The FBI arrested the two men who they say posed as Homeland Security agents for years, using their false identities to get close to actual law enforcement officials, including a Secret Service agent assigned to the detail of First Lady Jill Biden. Arian Sarsday, 40, and Haider Ali, 36, were arrested Wednesday following a late afternoon raid at a D.C. apartment complex where they both lived. They were obviously well-funded as they were supplying whatever police who ran in, who fell in with their sphere of influence wanted, whether it be girls, guns, clothes, cars. They were buying these agents and law enforcement agencies for 2 years until they finally got caught. So if this is true, that this is an Iranian operation, which all evidence is leading towards that, that means for 2 years they've compromised well over 25 officers at first glance without going deeper into all the contact tracing. So this is very, very scary, because if this is one Iranian team, it means I'm sure that there are more that are running the same type of influence operations, not to mention the Chinese that are running influence operations like Feng Feng and Swalwell. These are what our enemies are doing to us, and we are letting them in through the front door, through our south door, through our back door, front door, and side door. In fact, it was even reported, Vito, that a lot of the Ukrainian refugees, I think you told me this when we were talking about earlier, is that there were a lot of Pakistani Ukrainians that were trying and getting admitted into the United States as Ukrainian refugees. A lot of Middle Eastern people.
Yes. And you know, Al, what's really interesting about that story about the Iranians is that you have this administration, the Biden-Harris-Obama administration, renegotiating the Iranian deal, and they are and Biden is having the Iranian National Guards taken off the foreign terrorist organization, the FTO list, and in the meantime, the Iranians have made it their mission to infiltrate the United States of America, and they put an assassination, a hit on former Ambassador John Bolton and other key political officials. And you have them now infiltrating the Secret Service supposed to be protecting the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States, irrespective of how dumb these two individuals are. The fact is that the Iranians now have made inroads within the United States government. And this is very, very troubling. And you have an administration that is continuing to negotiate and renegotiate this Iran deal. And they're giving the Iranians everything, including taking the Iranian National Guard, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps off of the State Department's Foreign Terrorist Organization list, which means that the Revolutionary Guards can freely come into the United States of America. That is unconscionable. That is unforgivable. You know, Biden is truly a national security threat, and the Iranians know this. And, you know, President Trump had the Iranians reeling, but you have Biden buying oil from the Iranians. That alone should be treason. And now you have him renegotiating the Iran deal and possibly taking the Iranian Revolutionary Guard off of the Foreign Terrorist Organization, FTO list. That, I'm sorry, this is so dangerous. And now we have an example of two Iranians infiltrating the Secret Service, the elite of the elite. I'll tell you, buying the Secret Service stuff, buying their way in, providing them with weapons. I mean, this is not good, man. This is worse than Fang Fang. This is as bad as Feinstein having a Chinese spy as their driver for 20 years. These guys infiltrated the Secret Service for 2 years.
This could just be the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And now you have Biden emboldening the Iranian government, the theocratic Islamic terrorist regime Iran, emboldening them even more with this Iran deal. Wow. And folks, this has happened since January 20th of 2021. This has all happened since then. This isn't happening over a five-year period or a four-year. This has happened since January 20th of 2021. We have the Iranians now infiltrating the United States government. We have the Muslim Brotherhood in the front door of the White House in our government making policy. Hell, you have, you know, you have the representative from Mogadishu in Congress, for crying out loud. Incredible what we're seeing today. Never ever thought we'd see this type of disarray and this compromising of national security as we're seeing, not just, you know, you could say, well, over the last 10 years, over the last 17 months, just in 17 months, this has happened. And the Secret Service has been compromised. Wow.
Yeah. Buckle up. It's going to get worse.
Buckle up. But tomorrow night, you've got the Cross of the Crescent with Eric from Kafiristan. Wednesday, Hank Jones is back with Poly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Paul Sutliff with Sutliffian Report on Thursday, and Paul is the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. I'm telling you, the Civilization Jihad, Paul nails it. He nails it. What we see, what happening with the Iranians penetrating the federal government, with the Muslim Brotherhood penetrating the federal government, and making policy, Paul nails it in The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Friday, Andrew Karen, Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, Mr. Sadak, the beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And there's a man, you want to talk about his First Amendment right of free speech and being bullied and being stalked by the con men of care. But he perseveres. He keeps moving forward because he believes and his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he knows that he's protected. So God bless Minister Osama Dakic and what he does. Eric from Kafiristan back with Interfaith Dialogue, Sunday afternoons, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The real Interfaith Dialogue. Alan, I'll be back on Monday evening. I promise I will stop bringing up Burisma. I promise. Also, other shows on Block Talk Radio. G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Friday, 7 p.m., and keep G-Ski in your prayers. G, we wish you, man, we wish you just speedy recovery. Our prayers are with you, and very, very sorry to see what you're going through at this point. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and Curtis, 1 to 4 p.m., Friday afternoons, Eastern Time. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Audrey Russo, she's on Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. And if you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. A great self-help show. It really does help you, understand, how to eat and diet and some foods to stay away from. He does a great job. Joshua does a great job. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Ducky from the Northwest, hold your holy cannoli. Joe Gibson, he's got his own show on Block Talk Radio. Check out Joe Gibson and the Alaskan. Nice to see you, Boyd, as well as Boyd was in the room earlier and he had to leave. Sue from New Mexico on the switchboard. Nice to see you, Sue. Prayers to you and a speedy recovery for your hip injury. We're going to put you in bubble wrap, man. Stop. You can't go anywhere soon. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. See you south of the border.
Hey, thank you, everybody. You guys be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And maybe you'll find the laptop interesting. Maybe you won't. Maybe it's just a waste of time. Maybe the Iranians infiltrating the Secret Service is just simply a waste of time. But we're going to cover it. Ciao. Right on a button.
Amazing how you make that happen.
I'll tell you. Thank God for a clock.
I tell you, things are getting worse.
Well, you know, it is. And the other part of it is, you know, here it is that we've been told all along that, you know, we're the bad guys. You know, and it turns out that as things are going along, everything that we've been talking about were proved to be true.
Then that disinformation story to me was phenomenal, because you even had President Obama as a bookend of that shit show. And we didn't even get into the second question that was asked to another person on the panel.
Which was what?
Oh, I have to go back. Let's see. There's a good story on collapsing
family. You notice
how
they brought in Fox News on that, too. You know, that's one thing that I got to say, that Obama set the tone. He blamed Fox News for everything, when in fact, you know, as the right was going after CNN and MSNBC, you know, you had Obama destroying that part of it, or attempting to destroy it, and going after Fox as being, you know, that's where the right wing gets all their news. Well, no, that's not true. You know, and many on the right wing don't even listen to Fox News, me included now.
Mm-hmm. The second story was Christopher Phillips asking CNN's Stelter about his outlet's role in pushing disinformation. Phillips noted how CNN pushed the Russian collusion hoax. They pushed the Jussie Smollett hoax. They smeared Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist, and they also smeared Sandman as a white supremacist, and they dismissed the Hunter Biden laptop as pure Russian disinformation. Stelter claimed Phillips was describing a different channel than the one I watch, but he understands it's a popular right-wing narrative about CNN.
Popular? Wait. When you go on CNN, I'm guilty of rehashing this whole, you know, Biden stuff. Okay, we can hear it from our own ears what they do, and how they at CNN would sanitize, and they would go after anybody on the right, and they would just omit anything on the left. They wouldn't even cover it. I mean, they didn't even cover half of the stuff that was going on with Biden.
And that was then, and even when they got asked about it, they didn't even acknowledge the question. They just deflected, and then that was good enough for the panel. Talk about that was a disinformation panel on disinformation.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
And Obama was right there on the panel too. He didn't. According to the article, he didn't jump in and make everything right.
Was there any surprise that he would?
All they did was blame Fox News. Anytime Fox News, Fox News, Fox News, Fox News narrative, right-wing narrative, I dismiss you. Well, dismiss me all you want, but answer the question. And they won't do it. At least when we screw up, we'll admit that we're wrong.
But hey, this is brilliant. I think the conference is brilliant. They get out there, and what's the narrative? Disinformation, which they are guilty of, and their propaganda. They pranced out the great propaganda queen. You know, I didn't find it interesting. Oh, so what do you find interesting? I mean, do you find the Kate Smith, you know, being removed from all sports? Do you find that the funding of shrimp mating habits by the federal government is more interesting? I mean, what do you find interesting? I mean, is corruption not interesting to you? Unless, of course, the corruption is on the right-wing side, then, of course, there's no limit as to what time you can spend, so long as that you can indict, whether accurately, someone on the right who's labeled on the right. I just, you know, it just doesn't make sense. It's just a brilliant campaign, though. The disinformation conference is brilliant. And who led the way? CNN. Of all places, CNN leads the way. Wow.
Scary stuff.
We're missing something, Al.
No, I think we're getting it. We didn't. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I had the stories. I kind of knew where we were going, but you connect all these different dots, paint a picture that I thought that is much worse than I thought. And then with President Biden with his going after the gun business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, and again, the Second Amendment part of it, you have a anti-constitutionalist in the White House who's unilaterally making decisions violating Article 1, Section 1, and that's not interesting to the news media because, you know what, because frankly the progressives want to do away with the Second Amendment, so that's not interesting. He's doing things better, Vito. He's making things better, Vito. No? No? He's unilaterally changing the United States Constitution, which he's not authorized to do so. And you know that the petulant Pelosi would have went absolutely epileptic if she would have popped the lip. Yeah, she would have went nuts.
Yeah.
If in fact that was Trump who was doing that.
But we don't do those kind of things. So they got to make it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Oh, man. I'll tell you, just wow. I don't know. I don't know where does this go from here, Al?
Beats me. I got no idea. Where do you think it goes?
Well, I think it goes the same way as the Judge Brown vote goes. You know, she got confirmed by the Senate. And you know what was not interesting? What I found interesting that wasn't interesting was the President of the United States chose somebody based solely upon discrimination. And for 60 years, This government has been trying to right discrimination. You know, R-I-G-H-T has been trying to right the wrong of discrimination. And in just 16 months now, we have erased 60 years of laws. And the choice of Ketanji Brown was based solely upon discriminatory measures. And the president was not called out on it. Was not challenged on it, not even from the Republican Party, those who identify themselves as Republicans. Oh, there was a few that just blew. And then, of course, the narrative last week was she went through such a verbal abuse. Bullshit. She was treated with kid gloves. The only one that came close to challenging the fraud that was put in front of us was the senator from Tennessee. Well, I mean, give me a definition of a woman. Well, I'm not a scientist about, there's nothing to do with science. And in the meantime, Kavanaugh, the left pranced out, you know, people to make up these stories. And you know the whole story about what they did to Kavanaugh and the Judge Brown, Barrett. They tried to besmirch her reputation, and that's the idea with the left. Is you kind of go after the character and assassinate the character, but you do it subtly because we know we can't show that we're beating up on a woman, but she is a white woman, and it's okay because she was nominated by, you know, a Republican president who we don't like. And then, of course, the Republicans get in there now, and they're the minority, and we're taking the high road. We're not going to prance out, you know, all these actors. You don't have to prance out and make anything up. You just use the old words of Joe Biden, chooses a nominee solely based upon discrimination, erasing 60 years of U.S. civil rights laws for equality. You know, everything's based on equity. Equity, right, Al? We got to have racial equity now. We have to have equity and diversity. When in fact, there is no diversity with left-wing administrations, with anti-constitutional administrations. Oh, my God.
Darn, that's the story I forgot.
What?
UCLA Equity, the UCLA Equity Director wished death on Clarence Thomas.
Oh,
remember when he got sick?
Yes.
It was in Law Enforcement Times. I forgot that story. Damn it.
Yeah, me too. God almighty. Sorry I went down the wrong road today and, you know.
No, you didn't. Yeah. No, you were on a roll. You were rocking and rolling.
I just, man, I tell you, I'm sorry, I can't. It drives me crazy. It really does. Applebaum, it just wasn't interesting. NPR, it wasn't interesting. I mean, what the hell? This is worse than Watergate. And it's not newsworthy. It's not interesting. And
Watergate wasn't even that bad.
Yeah,
he broke
exactly.
into the Democratic headquarters. Big deal.
Exactly. It's not newsworthy to talk about, you know, Biden. And it's just a waste of time. Can you imagine Woodward and Bernstein saying, you know what? This whole break-in at the DNC is just a waste of time. But we should look into it because it is a Republican who's president, and we need to take down that Republican president. And then today you have someone who openly violates the law, now is unilaterally making laws, and we have a Congress that is absolutely unchecking the executive branch of government. Who's violating Article 1, Section 1, and there's only one member of the United States House that is calling out the President of the United States. Only one member of Congress, Thomas Mace. One member of Congress.
That's it?
That's it. Not the Speaker of the House. I wouldn't expect Nancy Pelosi to do that. Oh, hey, Sue's up. Hey, I see you got your hand up. How are you, Sue?
Hey, Sue.
Did I miss it?
Hello? Maybe it's Gretchen Whitmer.
Sorry, Gretchen? I didn't unmute myself.
Oh.
Is this Gretchen Whitmer?
Yeah. You know,
Hi, Gretchen.
Where I think you need to go with all of this stuff with Biden's gone. His mind is totally gone. Everybody has seen that. Where people need to start digging in everything is where all of these deals, you know, they're connected with Hillary, Obama, and even Kerry. And, like, I'm glad you mentioned Iran, because this is where the real danger is. Biden is over. Biden is brain fried. You know what I mean? You can say what you want and go after him. He doesn't even know what's going on, and they're going to get rid of him. And you're right. Harris is going to be Obama's mouthpiece. They put her in there for a reason, and they'll use the race card and that she's a woman for anybody who goes after her. But one thing we got to focus on is that 2022 election. If we take over the House and the Senate, then this all can be stopped, and they will go into investigations on this laptop. And believe me, there's a lot in the laptop. In the laptop, before Biden was elected president, there were text messages between Hunter Biden and Biden's doctor about his dementia. So they were very aware he had dementia before they put him in. And one thing, I don't know, Jill Biden has disappeared. Has anybody noticed that?
Who?
Jill Biden.
Yeah, Jill Biden.
Yeah.
She's
gone. She's disappeared. You know, at this event at the White House, you know, ordinarily she would have been there. Why is she gone? Had she had enough of it, or, you know, something's going on there, I guarantee you. But this is the first time in it. She's been gone, I think, for at least 2 weeks. No one has seen her.
Why do you think she's gone?
I think maybe because she knows what's coming with Biden. I mean, you know, that they're going to get rid of her, and that she was fighting that, and maybe was going to speak up about some things that are going on. And so they have, I don't know what they've done with her. I don't know where she is. But I think that was part of the reason, because she was, you know, part of all of this, you know, and putting him out. She was always by his side. She knew he had dementia. You know, she was going to, you know, she kind of like steered him away and tried to protect that part of it as much as she could. Now she's gone. So there's no one to protect Biden when he gets up there with his horrible gas and everything that he does. Do you think if she was there when Obama was there, she would have been with him and it wouldn't have been as bad as it was, like him, you know, going towards the curtains and all of that stuff? But they wanted that to be seen because they're going to get rid of Biden. So, you know, I think the news and everybody, you've got to start going by the real players, which is Obama, and Hillary's in on it, and, you know, Pelosi, and then you've got Kerry. And what are they going to do at the 2022 election? They're going to try something, because they can't have the Republicans in and doing a real full-blown investigation of this. Anyway, that's just all, you know, I wanted to say. And keep your eyes on Ukraine. And, you know, if Ukraine wins, which I think they will, there's information coming out. Zelensky feels Biden has totally abandoned Ukraine. He's still playing the game as best as he can, you know, begging Biden for help. But if Zelensky's going to go after Biden, if this war ends, he's still in power and he can do it. This is a very vengeful man. And he'll do it. I don't know if you watched Sean Penn's interview with Hannity, but it's a good one. And I'll be sending you that interview. Also sent you some interviews from Russia and what's happening in Russia right now. Everybody is turning their heads, and it's the same thing as when the Nazis were in Germany. The whole world turned their heads. Either it's not happening or there's so much more happening that this isn't important. This is the USSR, the KGB, and communism coming back to Russia. And what they're doing to the citizens in Russia should make everybody afraid. And then you're going to have Putin, an unstable KGB communist, in there with nuclear weapons. World War III, here we come. Anyway, that's my rant, and I got to get back on my oxygen. Sorry.
No, that was well stated.
Good points. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that. And I wish we had you on. Next time we have you call in during the hours, and we can talk a little bit more about this, because it is interesting. And I mean, I still have questions and reservations about the relationship between Hillary and Obama, but then you have to go back to the issue where when it comes to the Democrat Party in control, these individuals can bury their hatchet, because the ends justify the means. And, you know, there may be a rift between the two camps, but in the end, they work for the same goal. And it would mean putting Barack back in place and in power, or his regime in power, and Hillary, you know, as the bystander,
she knows that she can't play, you know, the primary fiddle any longer, but she can be the instigator. And so I'm just curious to see, you know, with those two.
The thing is, Brock was never out of power. And he's in power now, and he has been from the very beginning. And he's the one who sabotaged the elections. I'm 100% positive of that. And you're right about Hillary. Brock and Hillary will use each other, whatever they need to do to protect each other and to regain power.
Yes. I think you and I agree 100% on that. We know not to trust Hillary. She's a sordid individual. She's got dirt on everybody. And I think that would be the only reason why Barack tolerates Hillary, because one, he would use her for the connections, but two, Hillary knows where the bodies are buried, and Barack's end game is the same as hers, and that is to dismantle the Constitutional Republic. That's my two cents on it.
Boy, you both are just a ray of sunshine.
I'm telling you. Hey. Just put me and Sue in there. We'll solve the whole thing.
I'm gonna go to my Chinese high rise and jump out the window.
That's, you know, we laugh about that. That's troubling, you know. A city of 25 million people, and the communist Chinese government is able to control them, and people are so desperate that they're jumping out of high-rise windows. That's, I mean, what does that tell you about a communist government?
Well, you know, China, I read that China told all of the people in the U.S. embassies and everything to leave China. And their reason was because of the spike in COVID. I think they just want everybody out so they don't know what's actually happening in China.
Bingo. Bingo. 100% true. It's like, I mean, come on. Like, as if the Chinese government is going to be forthright in what they're, you know, how they handle an economy. I mean, this is, you know, freedom is only exists in the United States of America. And, you know, Brittany Griner has learned that firsthand, where she thinks that she can bring her mindset and her value system into communist China or to Russia. And there's no consequences for her actions, like trafficking drugs. Not that she's a trafficker, but she was bringing drugs into Russia. And now she's faced with you know, being in a gulag for how many years? And people just don't get it. This is their communism is not like the United States of America. There is no openness in that type of government.
You know, there's been no call to get her undone. There's nobody cares, it seems.
Well, you know, there's one interesting thing for you guys to keep your eye on. You know, while China is having this great food shortage and everything, it's not really happening in Russia with, you know, all the sanctions and everything. And that is because of countries like Germany, because they need the oil, that are still sending in food supplies and things to Russia. I have videos on this. And I go to a lot of these vloggers from Russia, and they go into the stores and they show, you know, everything. And there's some big supermarkets that are run by Germany that are operating in Russia and giving the Russians fairly cheap food. But their food supply is not like it is in China, and it makes you wonder why.
Wow. Well, Sue, you have a nice evening. You get back on your oxygen, and please take care of yourself. How is your hip? Is it feeling any better at all?
It's getting better. The nerve isn't bad as it was. My whole leg was numb. I couldn't move it. Gradually getting unpinched, and I can walk a little now. But anyway, thanks. And I'm sorry I interrupted the last 30 minutes, but there's so much going on, and we got to watch the world. By the way, in France, it's Macron and Le Pen who are going to be up for election. There's riots going on in France because people are not happy.
Yeah, I saw that today. You think Le Pen's going to do it this time? Third time's the charm?
I hope. I know from what I'm seeing and I'm hearing from a lot of the people I'm in contact with from France that Macron, they really, really don't like this guy. They're not happy with Le Pen either, but Macron they really don't like. I thought Macron would take it, but now I'm starting to wonder. You just don't know.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting how, I didn't think Le Pen stood a chance after a while, but now, like you said, who knows now?
it's amazing. And the young people are the ones who are rising up, and they want change. But a lot of the young people now are starting to see that maybe communism and all of this dictatorship maybe isn't the way to go. Like I said, I'm in contact, and it's through YouTube, with a lot of people from around the world. And, they have chats and we talk and stuff. So this is how they're getting their information out. By the way, Russia banned YouTube, but the YouTubers in Russia are using VPN to put their videos out. It's illegal. You can get a 20-year jail term if you use YouTube against the regime in Russia. But they haven't specifically made a law that the Russians can use the VPN and go another route to put out their videos. That will probably be coming soon. Oh, yeah, and Russia now is raising the Russian flag in Ukraine. That has a lot of significance, too. It's no longer we're going to go in, liberate from the Nazis, and then, go back. This is our mission. When they raise the Russian flag over the Ukraine citizens, they're saying this is now Russian territory.
Man, things are unfolding so fast. Man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sue, thanks for that info. And and if you hear anything next week as well, please let us know what's going on in France, if you hear it. Yeah. And also with Russia, if anything unfolds in Russia that you don't see in the news, let us know. And come on next week and let's talk about it a little bit. And at least the listeners will be informed as to what's really, what's going on.
Yeah, I will. If I can talk, I'll do something like I'll get with you in direct messaging.
Okay.
Nico, and get you out some of this stuff. Watch those two videos. It's going to make your hair stand up, especially the second one. The people who did this video just recently escaped out of Russia, or they would probably be in jail right now.
Oh, wow.
But they had this video and they put it out. And it's the most incredible video I've ever seen. Anyway, thanks. And
Thank
I'll
you.
Let you go. Okay, bye.
All right. Bye,
All right,
Sue.
Have a good evening and a great week.
Al, you have a
you
nice
too.
Evening as well. Take care.
All right.
I'll talk to you next week. Ciao. Take care.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Music Block Talk Radio. Hey, goodbye.